Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
Well, the Bible commands children to obey their mothers, and it says that if they do that, they will have long life. And it commands us as adults to honour our mother, to honour our mother and our father. But today we're thinking of mothers, that we are to give her respect. That word to honour her really means to greatly value her. And I think all of us, I hope all of us, can value our mothers as something very precious. I know I had a very precious mother. I had the best mum in the world, and I loved her very dearly, and she was somebody who is always in my mind somewhere or other. I've never forgotten her, although it's long years ago since she died. She still occupies a very important place in my life because she was my friend as well as my mother. And I had such security with her as a child and just knew I was loved and cared for, was conscious of it, and as a boy. And that's a very beautiful and wonderful thing to have, something a dad can't really be. He can never be what a mum is. And so today we honour all mothers here. We want to express our appreciation for their love, their concern, their comradeship, and that tremendous outpouring of their lives, particularly when we're young. Very conscious of how it takes a mother 24 hours a day to care for the very young ones. And I know sometimes I'm challenged and said, oh, that's silly, they go to sleep like everybody else. And I don't think they do go to sleep like everybody else. They go to sleep, but they're still half awake. And mothers are on the job when the youngsters are young, 24 hours a day. They're always on call, always available, 7 days a week. And we appreciate your mothers. We don't stop. I'm not sure we shouldn't have a Mother's Day once a month. I hope all your mums got breakfast in bed this morning. If you all get breakfast in bed, don't answer that. If you didn't get breakfast in bed this morning, husbands, next Sunday. You forgot this Sunday, next Sunday, breakfast in bed. All mums should have had breakfast in bed this morning, that's for sure. All right, I wonder if all mums could stand for a moment. All the mothers here, come on, let's stand. That's tremendous, look at that. They nearly have a majority, don't they? All right, isn't that lovely? Let's show our appreciation to mothers this morning. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, mothers. We love you, we appreciate you, and we certainly honour you this morning. Isn't it beautiful that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came forth from a human mother? Isn't God clever in the things he thinks about? Amen. We've been talking about the book of Genesis, and this morning I want to continue in our series on the book of Genesis, and I wish to talk about the principle behind the restoration of man, the principle behind the restoration of man. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we thank you that there is such a thing as a restoration for every human being. Thank you, Lord, whatever our failures, whatever our shortcomings, Lord, whatever the disappointments in our walk before your face, we thank you that if our heart is right toward you, we know there is a continuing restoration going on within our lives. And we thank you for that this morning and ask you to help us to understand a little of the principle behind this restoration this morning. And we ask it in Christ's lovely name. Amen. This morning I want to very briefly try and share with you the relationship there is between the restoration of this old earth, and we talked about that recently, and the restoration of man. Because as we comprehend the restoration of this earth in the beginning of Genesis, the principles behind that apply to the restoration of man. In Genesis 1:1, you remember, it said, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And we discussed one of our earlier talks how God originally created everything beautifully. He created everything perfectly. There were no groans of suffering. There were no worms of corruption. There was no rebellion to challenge. There were no death shades. God reigned supreme and everything was very good. And so also in the beginning, God created man. In the beginning of this creation in which we live, is so different from the fallen state which he chose when he finally rebelled and disobeyed God and fell from grace. Originally, man was made in the likeness and image of God. He was provided with a helpmate. He was placed in a garden of delights. He was given dominion over the earthly order. He was blessed by his Creator. And he was included in that which the Bible said God pronounced as being very good. Adam had all his heart could desire. Behind him was no sinful heredity. Within him was no deceit or wicked heart. Upon him were no marks of corruption, and around him was no death. God had created him very good. And then in Genesis 2 and verse 2, we read that the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. We discussed this some weeks ago, that some terrible catastrophe had happened to that perfect creation of the earth. Sin had raised itself against God, and with that sin came its consequential evils. For as I keep saying to you, whenever we sin, there is always a consequence. The handiwork of God had been blasted, and that which had been so perfect was now marred and had become evil. Light was quenched, and the earth was submerged beneath the waters of judgment. That which had been perfect had become a ruin because of God's judgment. Darkness abode upon the face of the earth. What a contrast between verse 1 and verse 2, as judgment brings that darkness and that complete ruin upon the earth. And so it was with man. You'll find the parallel all the way through. I can only pick one or two this morning. But so it was with man just the same. Genesis 3, and we haven't got to that yet, describes how man sinned, how he disobeyed God, how he refused the word of God and accepted the word of Satan. In short, he moved from under the headship of the Father God and he moved instead under the headship of Satan. That was his choice. And it was a dreadful catastrophe for him, and of course for the seed that came from him. Don't turn it up, but Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin." Adam rebelled against God, and there were horrible results. Where there had been blessing, now there was a curse upon the earth. Into the world of life and joy entered for the first time death and sorrow. That which was very good suddenly became very evil. Just as the earth before him had become ruinous and chaotic, so humanity, mankind, became ruined and confused and chaotic. And here's the answer to so many of your questions. Here's the key to human destiny. Here's the cause of all the suffering and all the sorrow that's in the world today. Here's the explanation of man's depravity, why he is a fallen and ruined creature, why he has a deceitful heart, why he is alienated from God. Just as that first earth was made beautiful, so God made man beautiful. Just as that first earth fell and judgment came upon it and it was ruined, so man sinned and fell and judgment came upon him and he was also ruined. Can you see the parallel between that creation and the restoration of the earth and the creation of man and the restoration we're going to talk about in a moment? The second part of verse 2 of Genesis 1, it says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And here, hope begins to dawn in verse 2 of Genesis. God did not abandon the ruined earth. He intended in his sovereign mercy to restore the earth from the judgment that he had brought upon it. So there was divine activity, and the Holy Spirit began moving over the chaos that was on the earth. Unless God moved, there was absolutely no way for that which lay under the righteous judgment of God. No way it could be brought forth again into blessing outside of God moving. Darkness itself cannot restore light. And if there was to be restoration, it was necessary that God should act, and he did. Now the analogy holds good for the restoration of man. Exactly the same picture. Man had no right either to claim God's mercy. But God extended his grace and mercy, and he purposed to bring forth out of fallen humanity a new creation. A new creation out of that wreck of fallen man. Just as he'd brought forth a new creation out of that ruined world of Genesis 1 and verse 2. And out of the death of sin, God was going to bring a resurrection ground. We talk about it so often. A resurrection ground for all who were united in Christ, in his Son. And just as with the fallen earth, the first act of this resurrection, this restoration, was the moving of the Holy Spirit. Fallen man was as helpless as fallen earth. He could not regenerate himself. Only God could do that. And the first step was God moving upon fallen humanity by his Spirit. In Genesis 1 and verse 3, it says, God said, and let there be light, and there was light. First the Holy Spirit moving, and then God said, then the Word of God going forth. We spoke about that some weeks ago also, that this is always the pattern, the Spirit and the Word moving together. That's been God's pattern from the very beginning. The Spirit by himself lacks the Word. The Word by itself lacks the quickening of the Spirit. It's always the two together that are necessary for God's pattern to be fulfilled. 10 times in chapter 1, God said. God said. And he said, let there be light. God's made it clear what his purposes are. And he's made it clear that his purposes will always be worked out according to his Word. The two of them go together. This was the pattern of creation. The Word and the Spirit working together to bring forth God's will. And that same pattern applies to man's restoration, applies to my restoration and your restoration. For we belonged to that fallen race of Adam until we came to Christ. It's by these same two agents, the Spirit and the Word, that fallen man becomes a new creature, a new creation. Man is in darkness outside of Christ. Man is in darkness because of sin. And no reasoning can bring him forth out of that terrible darkness. No logic, no intellectual resources that he has. Light comes to the sinner by the Word applied by the Holy Spirit. And there is no other way to bring light to the sinner. Psalm 119 and verse 130 says, the entrance of thy word bringeth light. And so that pattern which applied to the earth in those early verses of Genesis applies to this day to fallen man. Applies to you and to me, even though we are no longer fallen. To this day, the same pattern. I'm showing you the principles of restoration. The same patterns apply. The pattern here is that God restores by his Spirit and by his Word, moving on the lives of human beings. That's why when we witness to somebody, we don't have to be all uptight. We don't have to be concerned. We don't have to be anxious. Our job is to bring the truth of the Word. It's not our job to save a person. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to move upon that Word and to bring forth from it inner life. And it's not everyone who's going to choose to accept the Word. Then in Genesis 1 and verse 4, it says, and God divided the light from the darkness. That was a literal act of God. Pardon me. And in man's restoration, exactly the same thing happens. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, to the piercing asunder even of the soul and the spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says we are threefold. We have a spirit and a soul. It says we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. We have a spirit which is God conscious. We have a soul which is self-conscious. And we have a body which is sense conscious. And the word say, and the Bible says that the Word of God can divide the spirit and the soul one from the other. When the Word comes by the Holy Spirit to an unregenerate man, that's exactly what happens. You see, in the day when Adam sinned, he died. He didn't die physically. Physical death is removal of the spirit from the body. He died spiritually. Spiritual death is removal of the spirit from God. That's what death means in the Bible in relation to sin. It means separation from God. So when Adam sinned, the penalty was death, the alienation of his spirit from God, who is also spirit. There was a fall. A man's spirit fell to the level of his soul, the soul being the will and the consciousness and that area, the reasoning, the understanding. Man's spirit fell to the level of his soul. And they ceased to function separately. So right up till today, any man who is unregenerate is ruled by his soul. The spirit has fallen into the soul, as it were. It's in darkness. It's no longer operating separately. Man who's unregenerate is controlled by his soul. And it's in the soul that we find the seat of lust and of passion and of emotion and of self and of ambition and of greed. But in this work of restoration, the word, we are told, pierces between the soul and the spirit, separates the spirit. The spirit's raised again, brought back again into relationship with God the Father, and man's spirit is once again in the light. Now the work of bringing the soul out of darkness begins. The spirit's out. We've been born again. We've accepted Christ. Our spirit's been made light again. God's divided the light from the darkness and made our spirit light again. Now the process begins of restoring the soul and hopefully the body also. And this, of course, takes time. Salvation is only the beginning of the work of God in our lives. It's the release of our spirit back into light. Then the process of bringing our mind and our thoughts and our actions and our behavior and our attitudes and our habit patterns, a whole of that process of bringing them back into line with the purposes of God has to take place. Well, there's a few thoughts. We could go on and on taking the analogy between the restoration of this world in the beginning of Genesis and the restoration of a man today, from his unregenerate state to a born-again state. And all the things that happen to that early earth happen to man. For there are the principles of restoration in that first chapter of Genesis. I wonder if we can even grasp the magnitude of the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in a man or a woman's life. Just as God took the ruined old earth and restored it, so he wants to take individually you and me, man, and restore him. As the Holy Spirit moved on the waters, the Holy Spirit waits to move upon every individual human being. As God's word came and said, "Let there be light," so the word of God's waiting to come into every man's life and to bring light once again. As God divided the light from the darkness, so today the Holy Spirit and the word are waiting to do the same thing in every individual life, releasing your spirit back into relationship with God, helping you to walk and to mature, so that your whole life begins to conform to God's laws. There are great principles working here in the spiritual realm. I wonder if you're yielding to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God, that they might continue this wonderful miracle of restoration in your life. It's not just a casual thing to be born again. It's not just something that happened to you some years or months or weeks ago. It's the beginning of a spiritual transaction, an incredible and a wonderful miracle that takes place in your inner man. Don't ever be casual about it. Don't ever let it slip away into just some normal part of a material life. It's a miracle to be born again. It applies to the spiritual realm, not the natural realm. It's far beyond your reasoning and your intellect and your mind and your emotion and your feelings. It's out in another dimension. Sometimes we let go of that dimension and pull our salvation back into the carnal, natural living that we are so absorbed with every day of the week. Don't do that. Continue to realize there is another dimension out there. Past the three dimensions we live in, there is a dimension of the Spirit. It's the dimension of faith. It's out in that dimension that miracles happen. It's out in that dimension that your life can be transformed. It's out in that dimension that healing takes place. It's out in that dimension that there's real deliverance. It's out in that dimension where the promises of God begin to take effect in your life. Oh, beloved, this morning, let's understand, as I said before, the magnitude of the restoration that God wishes to bring into every human being's life. He wishes you to be brought back to that place where he can look at you and say, as he said of the original creation, you are very good in his sight. If you'll let him, he'll do it. Amen.